Now, let's get the round of applause ready for the Australian of the Year who promised to make some noise, and she hasn't disappointed. She was the only girl in a primary school soccer team from grade 3 to grade 6. She's a shithouse ballroom dancer. That's what she said. She's an artist, a yoga teacher, and a long-distance runner. And, get this, an undefeated crocodile wrestler.
Huge.
She's also an activist and an advocate for survivors of sexual assault. Please welcome to the show, Grace Tame!
Yeah, she's back. Hi, Grace.
Hello.
We get all those facts right. What anything you want to add? Or?
Yes, every single one of those facts is
correct.
Yeah, right. Correct. Yeah, yep. Awesome. Add them all to the Wikipedia.
I added the undefeated crocodile wrestler just before.
Oh yes, actually you missed one.
Oh yeah.
According to Andrew Bolt, I'm also a toxic influence.
Toxic. Yeah, I can write that down.
Yeah. You've made it. That's probably the highest accolade.
Yeah, you've made it in life now, Andrew Bolt.
That's good. Yeah, man. Good on you, Andrew. Takes one to know one, I think the saying is, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Grace, look, thank you for coming in. Firstly, we do love you, but I know that, you know, I just watched your the Australian story this week, and you are very busy. So thank you for coming in. One of the things I did want to ask, though, is, you know, making noise, and, you know, you said let's make some noise Australia at the end of the Australian Year Awards. Do you feel like you've made enough noise, and do you want to make more noise?
I feel like I've made sufficient noise. Some people might argue I've made a little bit too much noise.
Not enough.
No, not enough.
No. But I think it's about keeping a sustained volume and encouraging as many people to join in with that noise. You know, it's about the collective, not necessarily just one individual voice. And I think that has been achieved as well, is growing the chorus across the nation.
Do you think when Scott Morrison looks back at it and he's awarded, you know, you're on stage and he goes, Grace Tame, do you think now he's like, oh man, I wish I didn't do that?
Yeah.
Do you think they have regrets?
Oh, I don't really want to put myself inside of Scott's mind, but
no, nobody does.
he didn't pick the Australian of the Year. You know, I'm sure I don't think he really cares, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to cast dispersions on the man, but yeah. I don't think he really is bothered by someone like me.
The reason I say that is, I mean, you know, you are a Tasmanian, and Nathan and I are lucky to, you know, be here in Tassie day in, day out, chatting to people, and people love you, and they feel like you are their Australian of the Year. There is a real connection to you. I don't know if that is just here in Tassie. Nathan and I haven't travelled this year. We haven't been able to go to the mainland, but there is a real connection to you, not just for your work, you know, as an advocate of survivors of sexual assault, but wanting to do better in their own lives.
Yeah. Well, that's the greatest honour. That's all I've ever wanted, is to foster that human connection, you know, as much as possible in life, and, you know, give people make people feel empowered to do whatever they want to do in life.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when your causes align, that's even better. And so, you know, to reach people in that way is a huge honour.
100%.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm a firm believer in not speaking for other people. You know, you can encourage people to find their voice, but, you know, it's all about sharing the platform. And
I think in terms of relatability for you, Grace, a friend of yours, Madison
yes.
Cutler.
Yeah, Madison Cutler. Yeah.
I was reading a quote from her, which I think just absolutely nails it for you. She describes you as fiercely strong and incredibly vulnerable, which is why people have this ability to connect to you. Are these words that you would use to describe yourself?
Oh, I don't know if I would describe myself as being strong, but I certainly am of the belief that, you know, being strong or being a leader and admitting weakness don't have to be mutually exclusive ideas, and there's actually great strength in vulnerability, and I think that that's a part of authenticity as well, and that's perhaps what we don't see from a lot of our leaders, is this, you know, this ability to show a lighter side, a human side, you know, and you know, admit when they've made an error and be accountable for their mistakes. You know, I've certainly made a heap of mistakes this year. I mean, to say that Max and I were thrown in the deep end in January is, you know, understatement of the year. And
yeah,
we've just you know, we're still two 26-year-olds who are navigating life, let alone, you know, navigating life under the microscope, which is what we've had to do this year.
26-year-old, right? So, and then
that still
you've got
blows
this,
my mind that you're only 26.
There's
it's
all this
remarkable.
Pressure and stuff. And look, you know, Nathan, I feel very lucky to know both you and Maxie. Oh. Maxie's here today. Shout out to Maxie as well. One of the things, you were a guest narrator on the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I know a lot of people that went to that were surprised. They hadn't seen this. You're very funny. You're very charismatic. People hadn't seen that side of you. Do you feel like that's something you want to explore more, that other side? Like, there's been so much pressure for what you do, but do you just want to live as a 26-year-old and have some fun?
Oh, I do. Yeah. Often I,
of course she does.
Often,
yeah.
I write out very cheeky tweets and read them out to Max, and he goes, are you an advocate or a comedian?
Yeah,
is it hard to get that balance?
Yeah, the authenticity that you're just talking about, that our leaders, for some reason, they have this inability to show that authentic side of them. Why do they find it? I mean, you're just saying you do it, you write these tweets, Max says, maybe don't, Grace.
But I tweet them anyway.
Why do you think our leaders are finding it so hard, Jim, as you were just saying, to find this authenticity? Why can't they admit to mistakes that they've made and own them? What is stopping them?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's probably a cultural thing, though, that, you know, especially in the idea, you know, it just comes back to outdated ideas of leadership, I think, where, you know, this that people have to conform to this, you know, model of being completely strong and, you know, doing no wrong, you know, and that's just, I think that's outdated, you know, and I think that, you know, especially female leaders are really good at challenging that stereotype. Yeah.
Can I ask you something? I did watch the Australian story, and if it's on the ABC, you can watch it online. Grace Under Fire, if you listen to the show, I'd recommend watching it. There was something you said during it. You said, we should absolutely condemn sexual abuse, but it hasn't been. Then it cut to a different scene. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it hasn't been condemned?
Well, there's a number of reasons. I think the most obvious one to me is, you know, when we consider that there's a huge, you know, disturbingly high number of child sexual abuse survivors, sexual assault and domestic violence survivors in the community, that can only mean one thing, that there's also a large number of perpetrators. And so, you know, it's very it's very tactical of leaders to not take a hardline stance on something like sexual violence or family violence, because it's indirectly pandering to a base of people who are perpetrators. You know, and I think that, you know, for people who could never even imagine what it would be like to hurt another in that way, it seems like this wild idea that, you know, we should ever, you know, apologize for, you know, rapists or people who are violent. But, you know, these people, you know, who perpetrate these crimes are not caricatures. They're not on the fringes of society like we like to think of them. They're the everyday person who hides in plain sight because, again, we still don't understand the psychological manipulation that goes along with all of these crimes, which has been one of the things that I've been trying to put to the forefront of the conversation all year. And we've made huge headway on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Grace, we're going to go to a song. And when we come back, there are a few more things that we did would love to chat to you about. But first, if I can, of course, SAS provides 24-hour crisis response services. For people who have been affected by sexual violence, you can reach them 1-800-MY-SUPPORT. Grace, Tame, if you wouldn't mind, we'll go to a song.
Yes.
More from Grace next.
Nathan, massive round of applause, still joined by the undefeated crocodile wrestler, Grace Tame.
Yeah, we've made her stick around.
That was the last thing I added, but I found that on your Twitter. What is that? I don't know anything about that.
Well, the...
You've just never lost a fight with a crocodile?
To this day, I have not lost a single fight with a crocodile. My major tip for not losing a fight with a crocodile, don't get into one.
No, that's... I'm going to write that down.
And you know what? It works. Yeah. It works. There you go.
And that, because of that, I remain undefeated.
Hey, I just realised, Grace, and we were briefly talking off air. Now, I know you haven't done it before, but Jimmy and I, we had a crack at the Point of Pinnacle last weekend, and we're not big runners.
We're idiots, because we had Miriam Dowie on after, and they said, what's advice? And she went, "What? Why are you asking me?
It's too late." So, you've never done the P2P before, have you?
No.
But you are a runner. How do you go with incline and stuff? And what advice would you have given to the two idiots that did it without asking proper people?
Oh, look, I quite like incline, but I prefer it when there's a break, you know, like when it's a more undulating course. So you do a little bit of uphill and then you get a rest on the downhill, because it's running is more, I think personally, more psychological than it is physical after a while. And so, you know, like I always trick myself when I'm running, especially on a longer run. I'm like, oh, I get a rest in a little bit, which is not really a rest, but it's just, you know, it might be a little bit of a downhill. So I personally prefer like to do trails. You know, often they have a lot of vert, but there's also the, you know, really pleasant scenery around. And, you know, running up the mountain for Point to Pinnacle, that's, I mean, it is quite scenic. And you having to run at a pretty slow pace, so you do get to actually enjoy the
views. I wouldn't
call
it a run, what we did. It's like a water race.
Technically, I think it was a run, but people were walking past us.
A slow waddle or shuffle.
Yeah, well, you got to do serious training. Like, you have to specifically train for something like that with a lot of vert in your program, because you have to get used to it. There's a technique to it.
Yeah.
You got to, like, sort of relax your arms and don't fight it. You know, don't try to run faster than you can, because you just exhaust yourself. Like, because your heart rate just goes through the roof when you're running up hills.
So. Mine was at 180.
See, that was the problem.
Too long.
On Sandy Bay Road, we were going like track sprinters, weren't we?
And then we did at the start. It's like, wow, 4 minute K straight up. I'm going to slow down.
That's where you go wrong as well. And I haven't done that many races, but certainly that's where I go wrong, is I'll be running like a 330K for the first 3 or 4 Ks. And then, you know, like I did that when I ran the Ross Marathon.
Yeah.
You went out hard.
I ran the first 3 Ks with the man who came first. And we were running like 340s.
Yeah, wow.
And I was like, I have to run another 39 Ks. I can't sustain this pace.
Yeah.
So it dropped off a little bit.
Yeah, Grace Tame won the 3K. Well done.
Thanks, guys. Good to be. Are you going to get, I mean, look, you know, you've been so busy, and I know how important running and exercise is to you. Are you getting enough time to still do that stuff?
Yeah, back into it now. So in May, I actually fractured my pelvis in two places, and developed a bone stress injury on the left side near where I did it, just from overload and years of anorexia and having really low bone density caught up with me all at once. Back actually running, ran 70 Ks last week, back up to 76 this week, and probably peak it 80 or 90 Ks and keep steady with that for a little while. But yeah, that's definitely I don't have any other mental health. Max is trying to communicate to me with hands.
Let's give Max a mic.
Look, go on.
Is
it
Max? Max, what's about as articulate as a donkey?
I'm going to add that to the intro for next time.
There you go.
Articulate as a donkey.
Her partner Max, articulate as a donkey.
Max, I did.
F45 a plug.
You're saying give F45 a plug.
There you go.
F45.
Yeah.
We have been doing that as well, which has been really good.
I have seen you guys training at Bell Reef. That's good to, I guess, mix up. Oh, and you know, I'll turn Maxie's mic back on. Maxie, I mean, how proud are you, I guess, of Grace and how much she does? I mean, I saw you in the Australian story as well. It must blow you away, the people that she inspires, the work that she does, even just the physical, the exercise, the F45, the running on top of all the advocacy work she does as well.
Yeah, like every single day there's something different, and it's just been full on. And Grace has just, you know, taken it each day, one day at a time, and yeah, she's been incredible.
You were just saying to us as well, like, you're getting like 50 messages a day as well. Like, is this your full time job now? That was on the Australian story, yeah.
Yeah, so we get about 50 requests a day.
Wow.
As well as a ton of disclosures. We deal with that on a daily basis, and we employ a psychologist as well.
Yeah, I saw that. Psychologist. Yeah. When did that sort of come into play? How did that come about?
Oh, it would have been a few months ago that we employed Paris Baker, who also works at the Sexual Assault Support Service, to just be a gatekeeper for those disclosures, especially because, you know, it's been in the thousands, and I'm the type of person who naturally wants to step in and help every single one of those people. But I'm also in the middle of processing my own trauma, which, you know, is a lifetime sort of a journey. And, you know, taking on all of those things on top of all of the other pressures this year is not healthy not only for me, but for that person. You know, it's not ethical for me to, you know, to give those people the answers to some of the questions that they're asking, you know, because I had an experience of a broken system, but, you know, that's not everyone's experience. And like I said before, I am hesitant to speak directly on behalf of somebody else and tell them what the answer is to their problem, you know.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I offer my implicit solidarity and support to all of these people, but, you know, I want to give them the best opportunity to find the exact answer, you know, and actually be, you know, properly heard. And, you know, Paris is able to do that. She's actually someone who I know as a friend, but also can provide like just a different level of support and direction.
Well, our Grace has showed us on Twitter people sharing their stories, and yeah, then other people have replied to that story going, oh, yeah, you need to chat to at Grace Tame or Tame Punk. And yeah, like they've, it's, yeah, it's like you've sort of become this go-to for people.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I do catch the odd one, you know, here and there, and certainly in person, you know, I often go to events and people will come and disclose to me, and, you know, those moments are very powerful, they're very impactful. But, you know, for not only that person who's going through this huge process of offloading their story or sharing their story, it's, you know, it's intense, and it's, there's often a lag with the impact of it, like in the moment, that because of the energy and the adrenaline that comes with something like that, you kind of don't notice that it's dragging so much energy out of you. And then maybe a day or two later, it'll hit you and you slump. And so it's being aware of all of that sort of thing, which I don't think a lot of people quite understand. And one of the things about, you know, because people who reach out, they're in different phases of their trauma. Some people, there are some people who are really quite early on in their pursuit of justice, or they're just figuring out if they want to disclose to people. And, you know, I remember this from my own personal experience. You have such tunnel vision, and you don't, you know, you can't see beyond your trauma. And so often it's easy to forget the impact that you have on other people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it just breaks my heart.
Can I ask a big one? It was right at the end when it came up with, you know, the Grace Tame Foundation, that is the next thing.
Yes.
Is there much that we can talk about that? I mean, what do people, I know a lot of people have asked us, what's next for you? What is the Grace Tame Foundation? Can you give
is
us a bit more
TBC
of that? Is
it TBC? Yeah.
Yeah. So the Grace Tame Foundation, the website for that will officially be launching on the 5th of December. You know, we're partnering with some other organisations in the child sexual abuse prevention space. The main aim of the foundation is to prevent child sexual abuse, and specifically by driving structural reform. So reform of legislation and education. Those are our two sort of main ways of doing that, but we'll be supporting other campaigns. We've got, you know, the first sort of campaign, I guess, that's already underway is the Harmony campaign, which I sort of kicked off when I addressed all of the attorneys general from all of the states and territories and the federal attorney general as well, and called for consistent sexual assault law reform. So Tasmania has been really forward thinking in their sexual assault law reform, but there's still, you know, there's some really awful hangovers in legislation from state to state that we need to bring up to speed, because it's those inconsistencies and legal loopholes that perpetrators capitalise on. And yeah, so long as these things remain ambiguous, they have the appearance of being arbitrary and unimportant.
Absolutely.
And like it's a mockery. And these things are really serious, and we need to take a strong, consistent stance as a nation on these issues.
Well, Grace Tame, we absolutely adore you coming on the show. Round of applause for Grace and Maxie as well. Articulate as a donkey. Yeah.
Look, I mean, yeah, I don't, if there's anything we can ever do, you know, the door's always open, even with the Grace Tame Foundation in the future. You know, if you guys ever need anything, we're always happy to help. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll come in and chat a little bit more about that once it's up and running.
Yeah, absolutely. And before the Point of Binnacle next year, that's when we talk to Grace about running as well. We'll get some advice. We'll do a session. Grace, thank you so much. Maxie, thank you so much. We adore you both. Thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it. We know how busy you are. We hope you get a little bit of a break over Christmas, but we really appreciate you coming in this morning.
Thanks, legends.
Thanks.
And remember, if you or someone you know does need help, contact Lifeline for 24/7 support, 13 11 14. And of course, SAS provides 24-hour crisis response service for people who have been affected by sexual violence. You can reach them on 1-800-MY-SUPPORT.
Jimmy and Nath, Hobart's Hit 100.9.